definitely fun.
There's so many things in there that are, we will or we won't, and we'll take, maybe we'll give it back.
We'll call the meeting to order, and are there any citizen comments? Seeing none, I have no reports, are there any committee reports?
There is one.
There's.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see him, Mark.
Yes.
I didn't react quick enough. Good evening, Mark Molinaro, address, I don't have an address, 1011 12th Street, I'm the current chairman of the town of Summers. I'm here tonight on behalf of whatever item you've got on your agenda related to KR, I'm not sure where that fits on your agenda, might be the only topic you're talking about. So, number one, I just want to encourage you to support what's before you, certainly from the town and the village's standpoint, we are very much in favor of the improvements that they're proposing to KR. We can debate whether or not any of us like what's happening, don't like what's happening, that's not what we're here for. We're here obviously to address the issue, which is the proposed plan for KR. So number one, we support it, we think it is the right approach. There has, it's, this has been a real moving target in terms of the changes in the proposal, in terms of what the physical construction looks like. I was very surprised by the overpasses that they are proposing over the railroad tracks, but I think that's the right way to do it. And if the state's inclined to keep that in the project, we're certainly in favor of it. I could, all I really want to do tonight is say that Summers is in support of it. We've talked, President of the village and I have talked considerably, but I do want to take an opportunity to just to recognize the county staff, certainly starting with the county executive. This is where it is today, and it's before you the way it is today, without question, because of the county executive and the team that Kenosha County has. I've talked repeatedly about the strength that I think our planning department brings to the table, our highway department brings to the table. But I'm going to tell you, I was in the initial meeting when the conversation began about improving KR. There was a one-page document, I believe, and the county executive can correct me anywhere I misspeak, that Racine County had already executed for the reconstruction of KR. That I believe took it as far as EA with 8 or 9 lanes of traffic and all but ended it in a very abrupt fashion at that point. And it was presented to the county executive indicating that the document had been signed by Racine County and all they needed, they being the state, was Mr. Cruiser's signature. And he said, I have it, I appreciate it, and let's talk about the details. And I don't believe that today that document has yet been signed, but certainly will be once it is supported by the county board. It is a absolute apples and oranges from what we would have received to what we have been able to accomplish. And that credit goes to the county executive planning team. And the final catch, which I think is, to me, almost as important as what we ended up with the final design in this road, is the watershed issue. So, you know, we have significant concerns in Summers, of course. We have some residents along Highway A, along Highway H. We're going to have residents along Highway KR that without, there is absolutely no way to appease them through this process. It will be a nightmare for them. It will be a phenomenal disruption to their lives and to their properties until the dust settles and this construction is complete. I think what's before them, before you, is about the best opportunity you're going to be able to provide. But this watershed issue affects everybody from Racine all the way down to the Illinois state line. And I can't be pleased, more pleased with what we've accomplished there and what we're able to do in terms of keeping an eye on that going forward. So I appreciate your consideration tonight. I urge you to support it, and I want to thank the county executive, the staff, county staff. And, if you've got questions or that I can answer, I'm happy to do it. I don't know what they might be, but offer it if you will. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Any other citizen comments? Seeing none, I have no reports to any committee members. All right, seeing none, we'll move on then to the resolution on Highway KR. And Dennis, I've deferred to him as Highway Chair to take over. All right, go ahead.
All right. Well, I'm assuming that we're going to have a little presentation here. Joe and Ray are here. I can assure you that the county executive and the staff have given Terry and myself, the vice chair, and a little preview of this material. And if it was up to the state and Racine, Mr. Molinaro said the county executive would have done this a couple months ago. But this is an agreement to safeguard Kenosha County. And as Mr. Molinaro said, the our staff has done that. So, Joe, are you going to?
I was asked to start. Good evening, Supervisors. I was tasked with providing a little bit of background, sort of why we're here and what do we need from the committee and the county board. Mr. Molinaro inadvertently stole some of my thunder, but by giving some of that background.
It wasn't inadvertent.
I imagine most of you have heard of this small mom and pop operation that's going to be moving into Mount Pleasant, just across the border. There was a determination made by the state as part of this project that there were some significant immediate needs relating to access to the site as far as whether or not KR was adequate to the expectations. County Trunk Highway KR is, of course, a county-owned road. Portions are owned by Kenosha, portions by Racine County. And in order to make the improvements that the state, and I assume Foxconn, deemed were necessary, the state has to have legal possession of it, which is why they came to us with a jurisdictional transfer agreement. Say, sign this, we will ask that you temporarily transfer jurisdiction of this portion of KR to us so we can rebuild it the way we need to, and then we'll give it back. They first approached us in late 2017, I believe November. There was supposed to be a meeting in November. That meeting was canceled. It was rescheduled for December, which is when this document was presented to County Executive Cruiser. I was first brought in on the first week of December, said, can you take a look at this draft? That agreement was 2 pages long, but the area, as Mr. Molinaro stated, went from just west of I-94 to 90th Street or County Trunk Highway EA. There was nothing about detour routes. There was nothing about the scope of work in terms of what the design was going to be. There was nothing about environmental concerns. And all roadways were going to be transferred as is. So whatever they did to it, we were going to get it in that manner afterwards. The county executive and county staff immediately set to work on improving the agreement, which I think we have done a considerable job on. The first thing that was pointed out was that it made really no sense to have, and again, I wasn't in the early meeting, so I don't know what design specifications may have been discussed, but certainly nothing in the agreement that said what were they going to build immediately off of the interstate, but everything was going to funnel back down into the one lane each direction at EA. That not only didn't seem to make any sense, it certainly struck most of us as being particularly unwise from a safety standpoint. There was no addressing of safety or quality of life issues. And so we undertook several months of meetings and negotiations to produce the document that you have before you tonight. It has been negotiated by representatives of the three parties to the agreement, that being the state and Kenosha and Racine counties. The Racine County Board approved it last week, a week ago yesterday. This does require county board approval. State statute says that any addition or deletion from the county trunk highway system has to be approved by the county board. So, in a nutshell, as you've probably seen by looking at the documents, what we're looking for tonight would be approval for the budget amendment that's necessary to meet the financial obligations in the agreement, and then the authorization for the county executive and the administration to sign that agreement, as well as undertaking any and all other actions necessary to do this temporary transfer of jurisdiction so that the road work can be completed. I'm happy to address sort of questions regarding legalities and procedure, but I'm going to turn it over now to Ray to sort of talk about some of the technical aspects.
So what we put together, committee members have all had the actual resolution and the agreement itself, put together kind of a high-level executive summary of all the key points. Just want to walk through that quickly, but I actually wanted to ask, Jim, is there anything you wanted to say at the beginning or just proceed as we
proceed on and present it. If something that someone has a question that maybe you weren't in the room when it happened, I'm happy to follow up on those details.
Very good. So Emily, if you could pull up that map on the big screen. This map is kind of a summarized version of all the maps that are actually attachments to the resolution itself and the actual transfer agreement. This is kind of a, it was the attempt was to catch everything on one map. The 11 by 17 print is a little small, but I think the key pieces you can see. And as Clement passes those out, I'm going to give him just a second here, and then I'll start to walk through kind of the high-level summary we put together. As Joe indicated, given the regional impact of the Foxconn project and the scale of public infrastructure improvements necessary for the site's development, it's apparent that authorizing a limited transfer of jurisdiction for a defined section of County Highway KR to the state of Wisconsin is in Racine and Kenosha County's best interest. That was the underpinnings of why the whole thing was put together. I'll start to walk through some of the scope of the County Highway KR transfer. The map that was handed out will show you the whole scope. It's basically just west of the interstate is where it starts, just west of the frontage road. The purple indicates kind of the footprint of what actually is being transferred to them temporarily. Goes, that's the westernmost, continues all the way east now to Old Highway 31. It's that area. It also, in purple, you'll see there's transition points that the appendages, the cross streets, basically. Anything that's in purple is, at this point, the conceptual plan for what it is the state's going to do work on. The actual project design, the state is going to be responsible for the cost associated with all the design work for that entire stretch of what's in purple. The construction, if you look at that same map, everything from that westernmost point in purple to the intersection of New Green Bay Road is also going to be on the state's dime. Because the design has not been finalized at this point, but there are two big things that were added as part of the conversations we've had over the past couple of months, is that it is going to go over both railroads at this point to create a true safe artery in all the way down to Green Bay Road. Huge cost. They at first pushed back on that. We kind of went back and forth, and the bottom line is that entire section from the westernmost to New Green Bay Road is going to be somewhere between $30 and $40 million that the state's going to spend to create that new artery in. That's what they're committed to. Our costs, if you follow along on the summary, this basically was an attempt to take like all the key stuff that's in, kind of buried in all the documents we've already got. This is just a way to kind of pull it out and highlight. Our cost is Kenosha County, the cost to construct the section of KR between Old Green Bay Road and New Green Bay Road, that little section, I don't remember the exact mileage because it's fractional, 0.25 miles. That is going to be split between us, Racine County, and it's only going to be, the reason you see the portion, our portion is about, expected to be around $800,000. The reason for that is it's, we're only going to pay for the portion that takes it from the existing two lanes that it is to making it four lanes. And that additional cost to take it from two to four lanes and some of the appendages, you're going to have turn lanes and other things to make the intersection safe, that's going to be borne by us and Racine equally. And our cost at this point is estimated to be about $800,000. All of the costs we put together here are conservative to the high side. So we believe this to be our worst case scenario, but it is in 2018 dollars. These are not adjusted for inflation. Racine County, Kenosha County will be required to acquire any right-of-way in their respective counties for the project necessary for the construction of County Highway KR between H and New Green Bay Road. Our estimate for our right-of-way purchases is $1.1 million. Again, if you look, it's kind of small. At this point, if the design concept that the state's put together here is enacted, there will not be any relocations of any property, any homeowners on our side of the county line. The red dots that you see, I think they're, are they green dots? Actually, red dots. Yeah, the red dots indicate those homes on the north side, on the Racine side, that appear likely to be relocations. We don't have any on our side.
That's correct, right.
So that's where we're at. The intersection of County Highway EA, anybody familiar with that intersection, is where there's a slight jog to connect to 90th Street going into Racine. That is going to be on us to design and construct that to straighten that out. So that is a linear kind of a, it'll be a linear road as opposed to the jog. Very unsafe condition right now, as it is, will be an extremely unsafe condition with the planned expansion. So that's going to be straight, that's going to be on our dime, and that is estimated to be $1.1 million for that to happen. There are some potential utility relocation costs associated with the need to traverse, I believe it's only one, but I put in here one or both railways. That will be shared by Kenosha County and Racine County. We're estimating that cost at the high side is $300,000 for that. Basically, there's some lines that ATC is going to need to relocate and traverse the railways. And they figured out a way to do it that actually minimized, that originally was like going to be about three times that amount, but they figured out a way to do it that's going to minimize those costs. That's an additional piece. So if you sum, if you take all the costs I outlined here, Kenosha County's total estimated costs associated with the agreement would be $3.3 million. That's our estimate for what our costs would be. The state's in for, like I say, somewhere between $30 and $40 million, depending on how that final design shakes out. There's another piece. As you've read in the paper recently, and our committee's been made aware, is County Highway A is actually going to be resurfaced. The state is actually starting that project this Friday. Right. They're going to be starting that. They're going to resurface that. Are they going to resurface H as well, or just A at this point?
Both H and A.
Both H and A. They're basically going to beef those two roads up because that is going to be the planned primary from the south detour route. They're going to have traffic exit at County Highway E, take the frontage road to A, take A east to H, and then H up to the construction site, both for the road as well as the facilities that Foxconn is going to construct. So they're resurfacing that now just to kind of beef it up somewhat to accommodate that traffic. In addition to that, we know that basically that road's going to have the snot beat out of it by the time they're done with that. We negotiated a flat amount based on our estimates of what it's going to take to totally reconstruct those roads at $7.52 million. The state's agreed to compensate us that flat dollar amount. How we use the money, because if we decide that it makes sense to take H and begin, it's H going north from KR is going to be four lanes. If it makes sense at that point to start that process of H coming south four lanes, this will be more than enough money to accommodate that expansion, if that makes sense to do that.
Let me, before I, my mind starts going in 30 different directions, let me summarize what you're saying. So they're gonna resurface A and H at this point on their own dime.
Correct.
So we're not paying for any of that resurfacing. And they gave us a flat amount to do what we want with for the roads after they're done beating them up.
Correct.
And you're sure that's enough?
Yes, yes. I'm confident that the number we put together would allow us actually to construct, totally reconstruct H from KR to A into four lanes with an engineered transition back into two lanes, as well as resurface A. We've got, that money would cover that.
Okay. I just wanted that on the record so that I heard that clearly. Thank
you. That's exactly how we put that together. Stormwater management. As has already been discussed, this was a key thing. This was probably, the road part of it took a while, but the stormwater piece, the state really wanted to hear nothing. They were like, whatever, we just want to build our roads. Jim really was the one that continued to hold, frustrate the heck out of them in terms of, we're not doing this way. We're not just going to say, we knew this was the only chance we had to work a lever with them because they needed transfer of this jurisdiction to them. We knew that this was going to be the only time to do that, so we pushed. Jim specifically is the one that pushed, because I think if you looked at the administration, we were kind of like, okay, can we get this done? Can we just get this? Because it's been so many meetings. Jim's the one that pushed, and the bottom line is we were able to then with Andy get Sewer Pack involved so that the basic parameters that have been negotiated and are part of the agreement indicate that no water beyond what is defined as a 100-year event. Basically, they're going to have to hold more water and release it at the same rate it releases now, is the bottom line. So in order to do that, they're going to have to engineer and develop the capacity to accommodate a 100-year event so that it's released at no faster rate than it does right now. That's a big deal. In addition to that, Sewer Pack gets to review those plans and be, from a design standpoint, as well as after the fact. So after the thing's been constructed, there will be actually what I'd call in a building, if you build a building, you commission it to make sure that everything works the way it's supposed to. Basically, we've got the same kind of language in here that ensures that Sewer Pack's going to make sure it actually works the way it's supposed to work. Big deal.
When you said they are going to have to make sure that water runoff doesn't exceed what it normally is, they being Foxconn?
They being Foxconn.
Okay. Not the state.
Not the state, although the state, in terms of how they construct the road, will need to do that. That's part of their bylaws, let's say. I'm going to say their operating procedures indicate. So we didn't specifically have that language in that addresses the DOT's piece of this because it's part of how they design stuff. So it would be redundant. The Foxconn piece was the piece we were concerned about. So that's basically the stormwater piece of it. And the last piece was just something that we pushed for. If some of you are familiar with what they call adaptive or smart traffic management technology, they originally started, some of the rumors were true. When we first saw this, when it was in November, they first brought the plan to us, they had 10 lanes between the interstate and H. Yeah, interstate and H was like 10 lanes. And we're like, really? You know, so then they've refined it. It was 8 lanes. Now I believe it's at 6 lanes. So that is still a design concept they're refining. The point is, they were doing traffic analysis to determine what kind of capacity and blah, blah, blah. And there's only so much of that stuff that you can forecast based on where they're at this point in time. If you put technology in that's available now, that's in place in many places in the country, that manages the flow of traffic by taking live pictures of what's going on and adjusting the timing of the traffic lights to synchronize and optimize the flow of traffic, it's incredible how much more efficient that traffic can flow. So rather than try to guess at exactly what that's going to be, if you incorporate that kind of technology into the design right up front, you're going to be able to manage the traffic much better than probably any physical stuff you can do on the front end this early in the process. They've agreed to put that in. It'll be the first installation in the state of that kind of technology. So that was kind of a big deal too.
Are you saying that that would determine that the flow of traffic could be two lanes one way, other way, the other way? Technology you're talking about.
I don't know that it'll necessarily do that. It could, yeah. But the key point is you'll have basically visual monitoring of what's going on. The example is like in Las Vegas and in Pittsburgh right now, they've got, those are the two places I know of, there's more. They take, the cameras are taking constant video of what is going on. So if rush hour starts early today, it actually takes that, it adjusts every 15 or 30 seconds, it reanalyzes and then optimizes the sequencing of the traffic lights relative
traffic,
to that.
More like traffic lights than anything else.
Exactly. It synchronizes. That's the main focus of it. So that's kind of the high-level summary of all the key pieces of what was negotiated into the agreement. Any of these guys have detailed information? If you've got detailed questions about the financial end of it, Barna and Jim have information. If there's specific highway stuff, Clement can cover it. Stormwater stuff, Andy can cover it. But wanted to give you at least that high-level summary so that you kind of see what the future is.
Jim's got a question.
maybe Andy can go over that. It's only one lane on our side, and what happens to the water off that one lane?
Yeah, so basically the construction is for the lanes to be on the Racine County side, although currently there's one lane in Kenosha County, and that lane, as it's rebuilt, will still stay in Kenosha County. But the water that is going to be in urban design is going to be captured with curb and gutter. So that water is going to be captured, and it's going to go north into the Foxconn ponds, because the Foxconn ponds are going to be handling the stormwater for the DOT road work. And then that will be managed on in Racine County, and then it'll be released back at the appropriate places in the treatment process.
Talk about the release time. It may take longer.
So there's going to be a lot of water that's going to be coming off those sites up there. And so the requirements in the Des Plaines and the Pike, I guess the Des Plaines has more restrictive requirements for release rates. And so the water is going to be held, but the release rates are going to be the same. So kind of like what Ray was touching on is that the water coming into Kenosha County is going to be at the same rate. It's just going to be for a longer duration because we have more water that's being held up in the different stormwater ponds in the same county. So that's how that's going to be managed.
Barney, so in the second page of the resolution, 3 million, the 2018 budget being amended, is that coming from the 7 million or is that coming from our
additional bond?
Okay, why don't you explain that?
In order for the agreement to be signed, committing Kenosha County to $3.3 million additional spending out of the overall $40 million project. We have, as it states in the resolution, the initial resolution that was done in 2016 for Highway S and other capital, highway capital projects that allow for that funding. However, a budget amendment needed to be made in order for the signing of the agreement.
So that's our responsibility, not reimbursed by anybody?
Correct. That's our net net
cost.
Ron? Is the $3.3 million going to be strictly the county's responsibility, but you're saying we're going to have to borrow for it, right?
Further on the $3.3 million, that's money that has been allocated for highway type improvements. We're not going to general fund or anything. It's already in the budget.
No.
Where's it coming from?
And to bond?
We're going to bond for it. All right.
So the budget's going to be increased.
Correct. Is there a reason when we're looking at this that we have to bond for this? Why can't we just take, if it's going to be done in 2 years, in the first 2 years, we're looking at roughly $2.4 million, and then 2020, $800. And this was, you're saying it's a little bit of a high of an estimate. I got it with the amount of reserves we've got. Why can't we just take this and pay it out of our general reserves? Why do we have to bond for it, pay for the cost of the bonding? I don't know the length of the bond that's going to be, that's already approved on the existing one. We're adding $3 million to $4 million. So, we're talking about some costs, obviously. And it's only $3.3 million over the course of 2 years. I got to believe the general fund could easily take this and not harm it and not, I don't think we'd have any effect that much on it compared to bonding, which we'll have, it's my opinion. I'm just curious why we can't look at it that way.
Arden, do you want to react to that?
I would say that our bond rating agencies would look unfavorably upon that when it comes to highway.
You gotta speak up.
I would say that the bond rating agencies would look unfavorably upon that concept of using reserves. This being a long-term highway project and years of service to spend on shot out of the reserves.
Historically, we have always bonded for highways, correct?
Correct.
I mean, has there ever been a road that has been paid for out of current spending? I'm not aware of it, but...
Not to my knowledge.
Yeah. I know we put on the next agenda this resolution, that discussion that you began at the last meeting about using reserves. I, for one, have opposed that kind of thing. I know you're thinking that we ought to do some of that, but it is going to affect the bond presentations and perhaps an increase to AAA if we start paying for things that we normally pay for on a longer-term basis, on a short-term basis. You know, Summers got into trouble doing that. That's a current example. Many years ago, I believe that the public safety building in Kenosha was paid for out of the general fund, if I'm correct on that, Jim, and ran down the general fund to big nominal amounts. I think we're going down a slippery slope that we don't want to do just because we've accumulated a lot of money and there's a desire to, well, why don't we spend some of it? I don't agree, but up to you.
I guess if I can just, sure. I'll make this quick. I hear what you're saying and I understand that, but we're forever going to be behind that eight ball of that AAA rating. Even if we get it, it's with us forever or for a long time, and we're stuck at 31% of our reserves being over, 31% over. So it's going to make it, our bonding is going to be increasing quite a bit, and that is direct effect on taxpayers. The levy is affected by the bond costs because that's where this goes. So I'm just saying, we're forever going to be having creeping up on these bond expenses. And, you know, I know we have to relook at our bond policy, but we need to just make sure we're looking at this because, again, this is a small amount. I'm not saying it's a large mm-hmm. amount either way. But I think we got to be cognizant of these things appearing and putting them on bonding all the time. I think it's prudent for us to really look at that harder at times. And maybe this isn't the opportunity, but you know my feeling, Terry. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Barna, just on this one point that he raises, and I think we need to think about this too. Let's, you know, pick a date in the last 10 years. Are we more or less now than we were then? I mean, as I recall, the bonding amount is going down, correct?
Overall, liability of account is down.
So what, from what to what, do you recall? I mean, I think that's worth reviewing or recalling. Otherwise, we just sort of have a sort of a common sense view. Every time we bond, we're going up, 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 and then it actually isn't the case, is it?
And the thing to remember, too, is when you bond for something, you're paying for a long period project like this over time, so you're spreading the cost of it over time to the county taxpayers. And you take it all out, one chunk of reserves, you're actually penalizing all the taxpayers all at once.
Got it.
Yep. How long is the bonding period going to be?
20 years.
Oh, okay. And interest rate is pretty low, I would imagine.
Interest rates are very low, historically.
Yeah.
Good question. Yeah.
Is there a, Barna, speak to this, is there a depreciatory value of this for the county on a bonding issue, you know what I mean? Like an accounting aspect? I was just curious. You know, do you follow what I'm trying to say?
Depreciation-wise?
Right, you know what I mean? We bond over so many years, is there a depreciation, there really isn't?
Government entities.
Right, so it doesn't even apply as far as that goes. I mean, because I've had this conversation with Greg, and I agree with what he's saying. You know, this is something that definitely has to be looked at. I understand the long-term spread, but I also understand that if we get a better bonding rating, we get cheaper money.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? That's you're caught in this trick bag, so to speak. I mean, I appreciate that aspect of it. So if we potentially go down, I mean, this is just a scenario, go down on our general fund and use this, and we go 4 or 5 years without a AAA rating, whether we would or we wouldn't, how much are we losing just on interest of stuff that we would have to do anyways?
It would be significant, in the hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Right. Well, I mean, but I do agree with what Supervisor Russell has to say. That's all I have.
Bill?
Just like to shift gears, go back to Ray's last item here, number seven, technology-based traffic management. Are there any provisions in this plan going forward to do fiber placement? Are we looking at any type of...
That's necessary for this to work. Yep,
so
that's part of it.
So basically, is it a fair statement to say that during this construction project, we're going to get the state basically to take care of this informational, is it a dark fiber network?
It'll be a fiber, yeah, it'll be a fiber optic line that connects these, basically the length of what we're talking about will have to be connected with fiber.
And I think that's important because when you talk to your constituents, you have this big roadway. If it's accessible, they can use it and it flows smoothly. And this is part of it. We're getting the state to pay for it. I like that.
Jim, did you?
Just making the point that Supervisor Retzloff point is that the lump sum we're going to get in, I believe, in 2020. It's a lump sum and there won't be any borrowing for H and A during that period of time in that year. So that's going to come as a lump sum that we won't be borrowing for or be asked to borrow for at that time.
Good point. Steve.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to go back to stormwater management. As I'm sure you're all aware, I've been, sounding the horn about stormwater management and how water flow is, going to be treated from these 1,500 acres of brand new impervious surface that's going to be plopped down just north of our border, what that means to the tributaries south of the border. And so I first and foremost want to thank the county executive and thank staff for being ahead of my cries, being ahead of my concerns, because I think it's a really, really big deal. I also sit on sewer PAC, and I've sounded the same alarms on the committee that I sit on and then the full board. And I've always heard the same thing as Andy mentioned about the release rates that they're going to guarantee as best they can are going to be the same as they are today. But until Andy just said it, it didn't click with me that the release rates are going to be the same, but over a longer duration of time, which concerns me a little bit because you still have a significant amount of water that is going to flow into these tributaries over a longer period of time. And who's to say that this time is going to be dry during the time that it's going to be released? Is there any more consideration as to what additional water capture we may need further south down the line? Is Sewer PAC looking into that? Any concern about that?
Well, they're going to, Sewer PAC is going to, and they've already been given the first part of the design work, and they're going to implement that information into their floodplain model for both the displains currently and then for the pipe. And they're going to run that model to make sure that there is not any net effect to the floodplain.
So what I'm hearing you say is that everybody understands that there's going to be a significant amount of water captured and released south of the border over a longer period of time. These models are going to allow Sewer PAC to then be able to analyze what goes into the Kilbourne Ditch, what goes into the Pike River, and be able to come up with a strategy that we may have to alter on our side of the border or that north of the border they may have to alter to hold for a longer period of time.
Correct. The second part is, if Sewer PAC were to determine that there was going to be some net effect, then in the agreement, it's that then they'll have to take that into account. The development's going to have to take that into account and handle it on the receipt side.
Okay. Good. And thank you, for being on top of that. It's easy. Could very easily fall through the cracks and be a disaster. So thanks again.
Dan.
Thanks, Terry. And Andy, obviously I've been in the presentation more than once. Speak to, correct me if I'm wrong, Sewer PAC is going to monitor this. Once this is up and running, Sewer PAC is going to kind of watch these volumes for a period of time. Am I right on that?
Yeah, so the agreement is
Can you speak to that, please?
Sure. The agreement is to allow for Sewer PAC to be involved from the beginning through the process to the end, be able to be provided the data to verify that everything's being designed and implemented correctly.
Thank you.
Yes, Mike.
Please. Up in that area, with the exception maybe the spring and melt-off, those creeks get mighty low and there's not a lot of water flow. So it's later in the summer, it's still continuing to flow. I live right up there, I don't see it. But once they've engineered it, they'll continue to pull from the bed. So sewer pack won't get a blessing on it unless that they're able to perform their verification testing. Obviously, they can't recreate an 100-year vent, so they'll just have to monitor what is the managed outflow. But I got a couple questions. Has the state talked about the exit and entrance at Highway E? And are they going to rebuild it before the construction traffic begins to flow? Because that is not great.
It's not considered as part of the project.
Yeah, they don't. I don't think they've got any. They haven't mentioned any rebuilding of that at this stage of the game.
So it'll remain as is.
That's our understanding.
Who is responsible to maintain or repair the on and off ramps there? Because E hasn't been reconstructed.
Right.
You know, compared to 142.
I was going to say, now, the only other thing to keep in mind is that's part of what is going to be part of the four-lane reconstruction, right, that starts at just north of S-142, is that's where it's still three lanes at E, right? So that is all... That's all on fast track reconstruction now to be four lanes. As part of that process, that will be rebuilt. Those off ramps will be rebuilt.
Yeah, no, I meant as it
can. But as of right now,
occur for a lot of the.
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
But
maybe go on, because now when that goes under construction, what is the plan then, or is the hope that KR gets done before they begin E? You see what I'm saying? You got to have a way to get this equipment on and off. And if KR is closed down, your only other exit is E, or you're even going further south to 142, which can easily handle it because that's all reconstructed.
Yeah, I don't believe we've got, but I'll let Clement speak if you've got more information as far as the state's game plan from a timing standpoint. I don't know that we've...
Country to Highway E off-ramps were not included in these. In the sense of construction, because they're using E as their off-ramp during construction time. During the construction, the traffic, the construction traffic coming from the south are going to exit from E and then go to A and then go to H. And so it wasn't considered as part of the construction in this so far that I'm aware of. But it's worth noting. You may want to ask about that.
The other thing is, the state is going to resurface, I don't want to say rebuild, but beef it up from the access road all the way to H?
Correct.
Okay. Now, with the construction traffic, at least my understanding is, will any of it be heading up 100th Avenue?
No.
That's kind of been just in agreement. That cannot handle construction traffic.
Correct.
That road is in marginal shape the way it is.
Correct. And we have had conversation with the village, and we've also invited the village to meetings that we are having with the D department, and it was made clear that no construction traffic is going to be going on 100. And I think the village is also in the process of posting that load limits on 100th Avenue. And so there means a lot of discussion, and there are also the department is also thinking of how to manage the traffic. Maybe we have different corridors of some complex ways, but just to tell you how seriously they are taking that into consideration. And also, we're also pushing for the fact that we don't want any construction traffic on County Trunk Highway E. So we're going to force all the construction traffic to go on A. However, we're still trying to figure out how to enforce that.
Right. Maybe some stepped up patrols. Once you kind of set things into place, they'll learn, geez, I ought not go down E. A few more questions. One is, on this map that you had showed the red dots where homes were going to be sacrificed, west of H, there's a number of homes there, but none of those are red dotted. Is that just because they're already part of the Foxconn complex, if you would? I'm just curious, because it doesn't cover.
Yeah, we didn't do west of H because they indicated to us that that's part of already what's in play. Right. It's not related to the road, it's related to the Foxconn development itself.
Now, with as I'm looking at this, at 100th Avenue, and then a little bit east, maybe two-thirds of the way east before you get to County H, on the north side of KR, there are some purple outcroppings, and even west of 100th Avenue. Are those intended entrances and exits from the complex?
So depending on which, maybe point above your head there.
Oh, sure. Mike. So you see, let's see.
Where's the intersection?
Here's 100, okay?
Okay.
So you see this one here, and then 100's got that, and there's one here?
Yeah. So what that's an attempt to show that there's going to be a transition to the new four-lane KR. So there'll be some work required there, some turn lanes, some minor expansion, in order for those things to mate safely with the new KR. That's what that's an attempt to show.
And not necessarily as an example here. Got some constituents here that have concerns on entrance and exits because of the traffic flow from the whole complex, obviously, and anywhere we might be able to work with the engineering department, perhaps either berm it or move it, you know, to an area that is not that doesn't have a residential, because these homes aren't going anywhere.
Right.
And that's a heck of a change in their lifestyle. So that's why I'm just trying to get a little bit better feel for what that is.
So the thing to keep in mind, that map being two-dimensional can't show you the elevation change in that road going over the railroad tracks.
Okay.
So there's going to need to be, I know that one thing
is
guaranteed.
This is west. This is all west of H.
Yeah, so then west, everybody's going to have access. Whether that access is their own individual access, like they've got now a driveway, I think that will generally.
I'm talking access into the Foxconn complex as one of the main entrances, right? They're all going to be security. They're going to be probably two lanes in, two lanes out, a lot of traffic in and out. And some of these homeowners are concerned that they're going to have literally a Amazon situation right across the street from them. So we shouldn't ignore that. That's all. Okay. And I understand that's some. As it was mentioned earlier, you know, we're not going to be able to make everybody happy here. I just wanted to better understand because I'm getting questions.
I don't know that they know how many access points they're going to have into Foxconn proper at this point. I don't honestly think they've got that nailed down to the, this is for sure what we're going to do. I think they're looking at that.
Okay.
I don't think we've got that information.
All right. And then to Supervisor Retzloff, I certainly appreciate the fact that I don't want to take on any more long-term debt, but infrastructure is one of the areas that I do agree that we should bond for. However, we are bonding for things that don't last 20 years. Hell, they might last 5 years, and we're bonding for that. So our bonding practices do need to be reviewed if that's the case. In this case, this isn't going anywhere. This is a long-term deal. It's going to benefit our county and our community immensely. Well beyond our lifetime, that's for sure. Okay, thank you.
All right. Anyone else?
Yes, and to Andy, we compliment you on the well-thought-out plan, and especially on the watershed. Now, what you were talking about is releasing water at a rate that it's currently at a high water level right now?
For any development, there is certain release rates that are permitted.
Right.
And in the Des Plaines River Watershed Study actually dictates what those release rates are to be. They're actually more restrictive than what the current situation is.
Okay.
And so that's what's going to be implemented.
So then where I'm heading is there's not going to be a lot of increased flow and erosion problems down the line?
Well, the rate's still going to be the same. It's just going to be for a longer period of time. I mean, from the standpoint of erosion, I don't really have the information as to how to address that.
Yeah. Because that's something that we could be looking at.
That land that's up north of KR, it's a lot of ag. So it absorbs a lot, and then it's kind of just a natural. It isn't necessarily coming out of man-made pipes and things of that nature, whereas the engineered system, you're going to have discharge pipes that would be feeding into either Des Plaines or Pike River, correct?
Right, so the ponds are going to hold.
And then that will be metered or controlled at a certain rate.
Right, the pipes are going to be sized appropriately to allow for the proper rate, as well as the pipes underneath KR.
Yeah, okay.
John.
Thank you. In regards to what Supervisor Bostrom was talking about, you know, the Des Plaines and the Pike, is there any way for this overflow or excess flow from the Des Plaines to be shunted to the Pike and go back to Lake Michigan? Because I know there's a lot of concern from people that we're taking too much water out of Lake Michigan.
Good point. Anyone? Does someone want to respond to that?
I'll try and say, so basically there is a subcontinental divide that runs right through the development project, and so half the, or approximately half the water is in the Des Plaines and half is in the Pike, and it's intended to keep that. They are not looking at moving water from one watershed to the other.
Yeah.
Would that be possible if they thought about that?
I guess it could be possible. It's not been talked about, and Sewer Tech was not recommending that.
There you go.
Okay.
All right. Anyone else? Any other things that you want to present on this before we vote, John?
Talking about all the arteries leading into the complex itself. The complex itself is almost entirely west of I-94, correct? Starting at KR, moving
It's basically east from, if you want to say what was the frontage road, most of it doesn't exist anymore. The east frontage road, if you were to take that all the way to H, that's, and then to Brown Road, which is the road north that runs parallel to KR. If you made that big rectangle, I believe that's where phase one is. And then north of Brown Road, between Brown Road and 11, is the additional phases that they plan on constructing. I think that's how it's laid out.
So its southernmost border is KR then?
Correct.
Yep. And it goes north from H to the I?
Yep.
And all the way north to?
It'll eventually go all the way to 11. Parts of it will go to 11, but Brown Road is kind of the first chunk.
Dan?
yeah, I want to get, just real quick, I want to thank County Executive Administration. In our first meeting, I was the first one that said my biggest issue was water. And I was in Utah with my daughter skiing, and somebody was from Kenosha. And they lived there and said, I have a problem with the water. So I want everybody in here to know that initially this water issue wasn't an issue until the exec raised it. You know, they just wanted to go forward. So I appreciate Sewer Pack overseeing this, because I think, well, I have confidence it'll get done the right way. You know, and I'm sure Mr. Molinaro does too. Otherwise, he wouldn't be here. So I just wanted to say that. Thank you.
Steve?
Thank you. It's just a quick question that I forgot about this earlier. What was the logic behind extending expanded road construction east of 31 to Old 31? I mean, it would seem to me that that would be kind of a logical place for the expansion to end, is right at New 31. So maybe you can talk about why you decided to push for, you know, that extra quarter mile past that.
If I may, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
In talks with the Racine County Executive, there may be talks of this someday becoming a state highway.
Okay.
In which, if we were to expand it, whether three lanes with a twiddle lane or four lanes to 32, could probably save 14 minutes traversing from 32 to I-94, which would help downtown Racine and Kenosha. But they were going to put in deceleration lanes, which would end almost at Old Green Bay Road. So I said, if we're going to do that, we have to tear up what you just put in, because I hate doing that. So I said, why don't Racine and Kenosha come together with the money you were already going to spend and basically finish it all the way to Old 31, which is also a main artery that could be a feeder at some point. And then if we're going to move on, we do the analysis over the next year or two, whatever it is, to see what it takes to go to 32, if both county boards even want to proceed in that way. That way we're taking care of that next big section.
Got it.
That was it. Thank you.
All right, any other discussion before we vote? Yes, Mark.
You know, roads are intended to be controlled intersections along this entire stretch. So obviously H will be in
Brian. 31, the big truck there?
It's going to be H and 31. EA and 90th Street, they still have to run the analysis to determine, but for now, I think they're based on the information we got. H and 31 is already a signalized intersection. H would be the new one. They're not sure about EA.
And I agree that there's not a lot of volume on EA. However, trying to traverse four divided or five divided lanes on a stop sign, I think that's going to be, because it will turn into a raceway. Because right now, a lot of people scream up and down KR. Yes. They shouldn't, they do. And four lanes, it'll only get probably worse.
That's true.
So maybe you can bring that up in your discussion with them, okay?
We did already, and the response we got was that they're going to go with what the data shows. And usually, one of the criteria that they use for determining whether the signalized intersection is necessary is the delay on the side street. And the delay is so much that the side street will never get a way of coming out. That also helps to give them reasons or rationale for them to install this traffic signal. So what you've just presented is an advantage to in favor of the signalized intersection.
Yeah, you know, in off hours, it's great not to have to sit in traffic light, right? If there's low traffic, you can move on. But I'm in the morning, in the evening, people are returning or, you know, commuting back and forth, that's when you may be sitting at that stop sign for a substantial amount of time. And you know, people, we don't have the greatest drivers these days, so a lot of distractions. Okay, fair enough, thank you.
All right, anyone else before we consider the resolution? All right, is there a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Second.
Further discussion?
Well, wait a minute, whose committee is doing this?
This is finance and...
Are we doing it all together?
Well, we can, and either way, whatever you choose.
I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. You guys are the chairs. What do you want to do?
I was planning on voting together, but whatever you like.
Sure. Fair enough.
All right.
And just to be clear, because, you know, policy nerd, it's a motion to approve both resolutions, yes?
I thought we were just, I thought we'd vote separately.
Okay.
I thought we were moving to amend the budget here.
Yeah. I mean, if I wasn't certain, then perhaps.
And then I thought I would consider the other one.
Okay.
All right. So everybody agreed on that?
Okay.
So with respect to the two committees on the budget amendment, which essentially approves the project and the cost bonding, the $3.3 million for bonding to pay for it as set forth. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? No opposition. And then we have the next resolution on jurisdictional transfer. Is there anything else that you want to bring to our attention, Joe, on that jurisdictional issue?
I think through the conversation we've really covered it. Right. It's a comprehensive agreement.
Second.
All right. Anything further? Any other discussion on this issue? All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No dissents. It's unanimous, and we will circulate for signature here. And Ray, were you planning on making a brief presentation to the board tonight?
Mr. Chairman, through deference, you know I'm incapable of a brief presentation, but that said, I'm going to be up there, so if
all
you
right.
want me to do
that. So this is on the agenda this evening. I think that
should I make copies of this to have on the desk?
Sure. I think that's a good idea,
yeah.
And I think you should make a summary because there's too many points rather than I can certainly summarize, but I think I'm not cognizant of all these fine points on water and all of that.
Oh, perfect. Right.
Good. Very good.
Not if you live
all right,
in
any other
town.
Further business to come before the board?
Be talking about
we'll do it.
Motion
and
second.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye.
We are now adjourned.
Aye. 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 Aye